Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to our broadcast. I'm Bill Shanks with Russ Brown. We are live on location today at Classic Firearms on Northside Drive in Macon, 3780, Suite 120 here on Northside Drive, where they have a weekly sale going on right now in the month of May, starting with the month of May. And you can give them a call for more information at 257-6655, 257-6655. You can also follow them on Facebook to keep up with their upcoming sales and their shows. But the fine folks here, Buddy Webb and the guys here at Classic Firearms, we appreciate their partnership and we appreciate them having us here. And we invite you to come by if you need anything regarding a gun. It's Classic Firearms. They have the great selection here. We're looking at it, whether it's supplies or anything that you may need, hunting supplies or whatever you may need for a gun and firearms, they have it. So you can come and check out the deals they have. They also are, they have a new collection of 200 plus Colt handguns, and they are really interesting. A collection they've got. They also buy collections, buy single guns and complete collections, so you can check that out as well. But they have new deals going on every 2 weeks, and you can follow along that again on their Facebook page. Just go Classic Firearms and you can have that information there. And of course we have the ads running here on Middle Georgia's ESPN. Tell them when you come in that you heard it on Middle Georgia's ESPN. Let them know, and they'll appreciate that. We will as well. So hope you'll come out and check on Classic Firearms here in Macon again, 3780 Northside Drive, Suite 120 here in Macon. All right, we got 3 hours and 3 minutes worth of sports talk for you coming up this afternoon as we count you down to Braves baseball, Braves and Padres. Absolutely, positively, no guests today. We're doing it ourselves. We're going to handle it ourselves. And we'll have open phone time through the entire show. Right now, you can call in and talk whatever you want to in the world of sports. We may just listen, sit back, listen, prop our feet up here, and listen. Or we may talk back to you. Or we may hang up on you. Or I had a guy last night. I had to go into a place and retail shop. And he said, man, I listen to you all the time. I just don't call. And here's what he is. He's one of those we don't like because he moved to the state of Georgia. He's not from this country. He's got a little British accent. I don't know where exactly he's from, but let's just say he ain't from Blackshear. And so he moved to the United States in 1994, 25 years ago. So when he came, he decided, since he was going to live in Georgia, that he was going to root for every Georgia team. So even though he was wearing red and black, he started to talk about your coach, Coach Collins, and how much he was excited about Coach. I was like, hold on, time out. Are you telling me that you like both Georgia and Georgia Tech? He said, yeah, I root for all state teams. And so I said, you need to call up so I can violently hang up on you and let you know that is not allowed in our state, that we will deport you back to your home country if you do things like that. And he said, no, I've got to. I said, no, you don't. You don't have to do that. You don't have to root for the state teams. You have to pick one and go from there. But he does love the Braves. He loves our Braves talk. He is a huge Braves fan, and he loves him some Johan Camargo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he was complaining about Camargo not getting more playing time. So anyway, he was. We appreciate him listening, and Kaz was his name. So hope Kaz is listening. He may be working and not listening, but he's a Georgia and Georgia Tech fan, which he doesn't understand. Yes, that's what those Europeans for you. They'll, you know.
It's you can't do that.
You can't do. You got to pick a side, dude.
I mean, I don't know where exactly he's from, but I mean, it's like Man U and Man City. You can't do that.
Well, whatever that means, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he did scold us for not having more Atlanta United talk on there. And I'm like, when Pele gets traded to Atlanta United, I'm in.
Well, if they fire the coach, I'll be back in.
Yeah, you've totally deserted Atlanta United, haven't you?
Well, they're not off to a good start.
So they're not really united right now, are they?
It doesn't feel united. Maybe they'll get it together. It is a new coach. It takes time. These things take time.
Do they sing that United We Stand song, United We Stand, United We Fall? Is that what they sing at the United
No, they games? Don't. But you know what? That would be funny if they did.
It'd be hilarious.
But I've been told it takes a while for this new philosophy to kick in. Because I wouldn't know.
What philosophy?
I don't.
Kick the ball.
We have reached the level of understanding that Russ has about soccer. We have hit the ceiling.
You run, you kick, you score.
Yes.
Or you run, you defend, you don't allow them to score. What else in soccer is really important?
That's it. That's the level of my expertise. It would be the equivalent of a baseball analysis saying hit the ball harder. That's about as far as I go with soccer.
Here's a very important question. Have analytics hit soccer yet?
No. I don't think you ever have to worry about that.
You want to bet?
There's not a lot of stats going on, really.
Give it time. The quotient for running at a certain speed in a 30-degree angle, I don't know. I'm just spitting things out. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, phone lines are up if you want to join in, 478-646-ESPN. The entire show. Oh, wow, Thomas Dimitroff is giving updates on why do I even read this stuff? The Orlando Ledbetter on Twitter, Thomas Dimitroff gives update on Jared Jones. Talks are ongoing with no, quote, time frame on Jones' deal. All right. Well, we're going to get to August. There's going to be another hula-la-ba, and everybody's going to be pissed off, and everybody's going to be holding out and not going to practice, and we're going to be wondering what's going on, and they're going to say it's no big deal. They're Falcons for life and all this bull crap.
But weren't they closed 3 weeks ago?
Supposedly.
Okay. But now there's no time frame.
No time frame, which means they aren't going to get it done, in my opinion, I think. It's very skeptical about that situation. And they can't trade him. Right? There's no trade they can deal with. Again, they can't trade them now.
Especially after the draft, right?
After doing the franchise or whatever they'll name, they can't do that, can they?
Mm-mm. It costs money now.
Yeah, it costs them, so whatever. Why do I even read D. Orlando? I love D. Orlando. Why do I even read D. Orlando tweets? By the way, for some reason, Chris Rogers knows that the United We Stand song was sung by the Brotherhood of Man. Hell, that fits perfectly with Arthur Blank. He's got the Brotherhood of Falcons over there on the football side.
Maybe they should change the football team to United and the soccer team to the Falcons.
Lord. No, they need to be the Chiefs, have some balls and be politically incorrect and not upset the Indians and to be the Chiefs. I can say that now. I'm in a gun shop. Come on, piss me off. What are you going to do to me today? All right, so we got a little Braves talk going on. You know what I want to talk about first? Third base.
Uh-oh.
Third base. Josh Donaldson is not playing again today. His calf is hurting him. And today, in the AAA game for the Gwinnett Stripers, Austin Riley. Now, this guy, Cass, who's listening, who told us he was listening, he knew all about, he said, oh, your boy Freed, your boy Soroka. He knew all about it. And when he was telling me about, you know, how much he loves Camargo, he's like, but I know you love you some Austin Riley. I'm like, I do. I love me some Austin Riley. I said, you're going to love him, too, when he's hitting bombs and not sitting out because he's getting a little calf injury. And today, Austin Riley was 4-for-5 with 2 solo home runs and a double. He now has 8 doubles on the year, 7 home runs, 18 runs batted in. His batting average is up to .293. And the on-base percentage was at .330 coming into today. So what is it, probably .350 after a 4-for-5 day, something like that. And the second home run went 492 feet. Josh Donaldson is not playing tonight. But he's still making, what, $145,000? Isn't that what it was?
Give or take, yeah.
$23 million divided by 162 is $145,000 that he'll get tonight for sitting and soaking his calf. With that in mind, 478-646-ESPN, Jeremy in Memphis, I think he wants to talk about what we're talking about right now. Am I right?
Well, that, but I also got some minor league talk, too, and some other minor league players.
Well, how about Austin, though? How about, two home runs today, 7 on the season. It's May 1st. The kid is ready. He does not need to be. I mean, look, seriously, 2 more weeks. If he has 10 home runs by May 15th, what the heck are we going to do? That's stupid to have him in AAA.
I already saw the box score. I check him every single day, and he's done the last 3 weeks. He looked the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's a different average than what he started out the first couple of weeks. He started out slow, but he's got a red hot the last 3 or 4 weeks.
He's got, what, 5 home runs the last, and I think he had 3 over the weekend, like for Friday and Saturday he had 3, and then now 2 more today. I mean, the kid, what more can the kid do?
I think he had 2 throwing errors today, but still, I think his defense has improved since he's been going to the minors.
His plus or minus is still pretty positive.
Yeah. Something else I'm going to talk about, another person.
I don't really know what
this is. I mentioned Jacob Webb back in the spring about how every year his numbers have been good ERA, and I thought he was a guy that may help us this year.
Yeah.
And he looks like he might. I got another guy I want to talk about. He pitched last night. Hayden Deal.
You
know, and if you look at him, so 3.23 2 years ago, 2.17 last year. This year he's in the ones every single year, just like Webb. Low ERAs, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and they put him in the rotation this year, and I saw his numbers yesterday, and he's done really well. And you know, he was an undrafted free agent signed by Billy Best, the North Carolina scout. He's a great scout, and has found other diamonds in the rough like that. I mean, I don't know what his future is. I don't know what his projection is, but his numbers right now, he needs to go to Double A. They don't need to let that kid pitch another game in Florida, but I don't know where he'll have room in Double A because they got Anderson, Wentz, and Muller. Muller needs to get those walk totals down. Tucker Davis is doing pretty well. He's in the Double A rotation too, and Jeremy Walker's doing some things. I guess he's doing some things out of relief, long relief. But yeah, Hayden Deal is interesting. He is, and I don't know much about his stuff. Do you? Have you ever read anything about his stuff?
I don't know. He's a 6'4 left-hand. I saw this year, I think, but from memory, I think 30 innings, 27 Ks, and just about 6 or 8 walks. So
yeah,
I like his strikeout to walk ratio. He doesn't walk a lot of people. So that I mean, it's somebody to look at. This is his third year of great numbers.
Yeah, I think we look at those minor league numbers to see who doesn't walk people, and take a look at them. And you know, Grant Dayton's been really good at not walking people, so I'm anxious to see if he can do what he did last night again and stay in that bullpen. But no, Hayden Deal's one to watch. You're right. I agree. I kind of took note of him yesterday, and he's doing well so far.
And then some other guys to talk about. Now, I was critical about Marquez coming back, but if you start looking at what he's doing, compared to McCutcheon. McCutcheon is having an awful year. He's hitting about 240. Bryce, 0 for 4 yesterday, 2 more Ks. He's down to 242. He's almost in the 230s now. A.J. Pollock, I think, is going to be out maybe for the rest of the year, out for a while. I mean, you're looking at all these. You look at those three guys and look what we're getting out of Marquez. That was the best thing he did. He signed the best guy he could have, I think, for a short-term contract.
Well, it looks good right now for sure. And I want to tell you about Marquez, and I was looking at his numbers this morning. You know, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. If he doesn't get hurt, Jeremy, Nick Marquez is going to go to the Hall of Fame because he's got 34 hits this season, now 2271 on his career. If he finishes with 2400 after this season, he could average 150 hits for the next 4 seasons and have 3,000 hits before he reaches 40 years old. I know I've heard that Nick Markakis has privately said he would like to go for the Hall of Fame because, I mean, heck, if you've got 2,271 hits and you're 35 years old, you daggum right you want to go for the Hall of Fame, especially when they see, you know, Harold Baines going in. I don't know, you know, Markakis has never won very many awards. He's really not been a perennial all-star, obviously. So, I think his chances are going to hinge on whether or not he can get 3,000 hits, but he's got 34 this year, 330, I think, batting average. I mean, the guy is just continues to hit and do very well. And he's you got to give him credit. You do. You have to give him credit for what he's done, and especially considering the deal that he did sign. But he's going to go to the Hall of Fame if he keeps this up. He is.
Well, how long did McCutcheon get signed for with Philadelphia? How long was that?
I think three at 50 or something like that.
Man, they may regret that one too. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, and your boy Bryce is getting booed last night.
Really? I mean, I'm telling you, Bill, think about this. I got to deal with him for 13 more years. And
I know.
What I told you, what scared me is two out of last figures in the 240s. That's what he's done the last 200 years. So what would make you think he's going to improve on that? And
well, I mean, look, they were talking about him on the MLB Network a little while ago when I was getting ready to head out. And there's no doubt the people are kind of pissed in Philadelphia right now. They were booing him. He evidently dropped a fly ball. And he's struggling. He's hitting 240, 388 OBP. So it's, you know, his on base percentage is always going to be great because he walks a lot. 6 home runs, 20 RBI in 29 games. That's not what they're expecting. They want perfection. They want a lot. I mean, hell, they boot Santa Claus. So, you know, they're going to boot Bryce Harper for sure. But you got to be patient with him because he's going to be under a lot of pressure early on. But you get past their little start 3-0 against the Braves. They're 500 teams since then.
Yeah, they don't scare me as much as I thought they would. They're really kind of coming. They're really kind of coming down to earth.
But they could sign Craig Kimbrell and trade for Mad Bum and be a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah, and I think everybody's waiting to act in the draft for Kimbrell. There's no doubt in my mind. They're waiting 4 weeks to sign him because they don't, no one wants to give up a second round draft pick for him. And they're like, if we made it this long, everybody's waiting 4 more weeks. And then I think as soon as the draft happens, somebody's going to sign him.
I agree. And I think Rosenthal said that Kimbrell has pretty much said he's not signing a 1-year deal. So what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to sign almost like a 1.5-year deal at the minimum.
So I'll say one more thing, Bill. I just thought about this on the draft that you might want to talk about this a little bit. But I saw two projections. One had us getting this pitcher out of West Virginia that I like a lot. The other one had him going right before us to Texas. So it had us getting, an outfielder from Arizona State. I've read a couple places now that I like these two shortstop, Witt Jr. and this shortstop out of Georgia high school. But both of them are probably off the board when we get to Atlanta. So I'm hoping we get the pitcher from West Virginia. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the drafts. I mean, my guys got fired, so I don't care as much about the draft anymore. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, with Brian Bridges and Roy Clark out, I have no idea what they're looking at. I don't care as much, and it's a shame, but it's kind of the truth. And because my guys are gone. Those are my guys, good friends of mine, and I hate it. I mean, I've heard some of the pitchers they're looking at that I won't share, but I mean, a couple of their area scouts have told me some guys, but I have no idea about them, and I just hope they can pick the right ones. But you're right about Kimbrell. He's not going to sign until after the draft. All right. Thank you very much, Jeremy. We appreciate it as always. I mean, look, you know what? It's May 1st. If that is a problem of blocking a team, whether it's the Braves or someone else, from signing him, he might as well just wait. And he's not going to sign for 3 months, 4 months. If they got to wait until after the draft, that means you'd have him basically for 3.5 months. So he's not going to sign for 3.5 months. And if it's gone this far, that's what's going to happen. I think Jeremy's right. I think Kimbrell will be signed after the draft in June, which means it's another 5 weeks for him to stay out. God, I want to tell you something. I think this is awful for Craig Kimbrell in so many ways. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. But you think about the fact that this guy is on a Hall of Fame track. Why would you jeopardize the Hall of Fame over some bullcrap contract demand? If this guy does not have a good as a back end of his career as he did front end, and you look at the fact that he's going to miss 2.5 months at least of one season, and I'm not even talking about statistically. Let's say he's going to, or if he saves 50 games a year on average, all right, he's going to miss, 40% of the seasons. That may be 20 saves. I don't know if 20 saves is going to keep him out. But the problem is, what if he comes back and is not what he was before because of his layover? And I'm not trying to do a doomsday scenario for this guy, but why would he jeopardize the fact that if you look at his numbers right now, if he comes back and pitches tomorrow and is healthy for the next 7 or 8 years into his late 30s, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, Cooperstown. I mean, like, going to the preeminent place that baseball players go to. I just can't, beyond all of the financial issues, understand why he would jeopardize that. That blows my mind more than anything. He's already rich. He's going to make a lot of money between now and the rest of his career. Make it a point, if there's a 10% chance that it costs him his Hall of Fame candidacy, is it worth it? I don't understand that. That beyond the money blows my mind more than anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I get kind of that lingered in his spring training and driving a hard bargain, because at the age he is, he wants one more long-term contract. But to me, once it's obvious you're not going to get that, you're a baseball player. Isn't priority one playing baseball? And it just, you know, and it's, as you've said all along, it's not just the Braves. It's not just the Braves that aren't signing this guy. It's everybody in Major League Baseball. So I just, it bothers me. I would be leery of signing him. I don't think I'd want to sign him up for next year. And if he doesn't want to have sign a 3-month contract, he can just sit out the rest of the year. Because that not playing at the end of the day, it's not like there wasn't an offer. It's not like there wasn't a 1-year offer where he probably would have been paid, gosh, I mean, at least $15 million at the least. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're going to sit out over that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Because at the end of the day, you're a baseball player and you should be on the field playing baseball. If he was hurt, if he was injured, which he may be, and we don't know that, that's one thing. But if he's good to go and he's just sitting at home because he's not getting the money he wants, I don't like that.
The report earlier in the spring, or in the off season rather, that he wanted $100 million for 6 years is $16.66 million. All right. So I want to take that number right there and times 40. He's going to miss 40% of the season. So that means you take off. So he shouldn't really make more than $10 million for the rest of this year. So he's already cost himself $6.6 million, let's say, million dollars. So, all right, what are you going to do? A year and a half salary, $10 million the rest of this year, and I'm not going to give him $20 million. Because, again, I don't know what he's going to be when he comes back after being out for 3 months. I mean, but the problem is, as you said, the need is there for so many teams. That's going to make him feel like he's still got a market. And mm-hmm. I don't blame him. He's going to think, my God, the Nationals, Mets, and Braves have sucky bullpens. Phillies ain't too much better. So you got four teams, and even Smoltz, he said, the team that signs Craig Kimbrel, it's almost like an in-season acquisition for a trade, except you're signing him as a free agent, which doesn't ever happen in Major League Baseball. So when you go to the July 31st trade deadline, and let's say you're battling the Dodgers and the Yankees for a starting pitcher, all three teams need a starting pitcher, well, you're going to battle it out. And who's going to give up the most prospects is going to be the one that gets him. In this situation, the team that gives Craig Kimbrel the most money and the best deal and the longest deal is probably going to get him. But how do you define that now? They had trouble, obviously, defining what that contract was coming out of last season when he had trouble in Boston a year ago. Boston says they don't want him. They said again this week that we don't want him. We don't want him. I mean, they have said that out loud. So you got a team from last year not wanting him. Four teams in the National League East, every daggum one of them could use him. And they're going to wait on the draft. They're going to wait on – they don't want to give up a draft pick. Why? In case he sucks? In case he is not what he used to be? I mean, it is a weird situation. I'm not going to cry at all if they sign him. But I'm going to be concerned now because of the fact that it's May stinking first. Are you kidding me? I still can't believe he and Keuchel are not. It's May 1st.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Hell, I said that on February 1st, didn't I?
Right. It's
February 1st. They're not signed. God.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it blows my mind that one of the best closers and a former Cy Young Award winner are sitting at home healthy, not playing baseball right now. It's crazy.
And the sadder part is someone who's not sitting at home, but instead is making $23 million is also not playing baseball right now. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about third base again. Oh, my gosh. I mean, in a way, I mean, I hate to be able to come back and talk about it. He's not playing again tonight, though. Josh Johnson's out. Calf injury. So that means the Braves have squandered $300,000, which is half a year for a salary for a reliever that they could have gotten for the whole year. Think about that. That's kind of bad, isn't it? He's making $149,000, wasn't that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Per game. So now he's missed two games in a row. He's missed what? This is fifth game he's missed out of 30, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Fourth or fifth. So you're basically talking about the salary that you could have spent on at least a reliever who would have had to take a minimum salary to come play if he wanted a job or not, who might have been your best reliever. Austin Riley had 2 home runs today. We're going to take a break, come back. We're at Classic Firearms. We invite you to get on their Facebook page and get more information on some of their deals. They're located at 3780 Northside Drive here, Suite 120 in Macon. They've got a sale going on right now. They've got a Taurus G2C starting at $239.9. They've got a SWSDVE starting at $289.99. And you gun owners know what I'm talking about with these guns. They've got a SW frame revolver starting at $349.99. So come in if you're interested in a firearm and check out what they have here at Classic Firearms. They also buy single guns and complete collections as well. Keep that in mind. And again, every 2 weeks they have new sales, new deals that are on Facebook. Just follow them on Facebook at Classic Firearms and they'll hook you up with their latest deals. We'll take a break, come back. If the phone lines are open for the entire show at 478-646-ESPN. With Russ Brown, I'm Bill Shanks. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. That's it. That's the song he referenced that he was going to play. I think they need to play that at the soccer game.
No. No.
Where in the hell did that song come from?
I don't know, man.
Chris.
That's all.
Chris, speak to us. Where did that song come from? You are a music aficionado and a historian. Where the heck did...
It's by Brotherhood of Man... And
is it just one of those flaky 70s songs when they were all high?
sort of. I mean, it reached number 13 on the Hot 100 in 1970.
Oh, my God, the year I was born? Oh, great. So, yeah, everybody was high.
Yeah, it reached number 64 for the year end of 1970.
I would hope there would be a lot more than 63 songs that were better than that one right there. I'm glad you pulled that one up. That's good. I think they should play that at the soccer games. Thank you, Chris. No, I mean, it's one of those stupid, you know, Up With People type songs. You ever heard of Up With People?
I've heard of it, yes.
You know, I said that Mark Rick was like the leader of the band.
The Up With People. Although Brotherhood of Man, that might be the Dan Quinn theme song
there. Oh, my gosh. That is. That is appropriate for the Atlanta Falcons. And for the Atlanta United, too. It's Arthur Blank. You think Arthur Blank's got that on his iPhone?
Only when Julio calls.
that's his Julio thing.
This is ringtone.
This is ringtone for Julio.
Until he can get somebody to cut a song called Falcon for Life.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful. If we see Samuel L. Jackson do a Brotherhood of Man song of United We Stand in October, we're in trouble.
I mean, unless you're paying that dude lots of money, I don't see that happening.
No, I don't think that's his gig.
No. I think Samuel L. would be a lot more comfortable where we're sitting than singing Up With People.
Yes, exactly. We're at Classic Firearms, speaking where we are, here on Northside Drive, 3780 Northside Drive here in Macon. And we hope you'll come by and also go on their Facebook page, check out all their great deals that they have. And they have a good Facebook page that kind of details all their deals. And remember now, if you have a gun collection, they'll take a look at it. Whether it's a single gun or a whole collection, they will look at it here at Classic Firearms. The lineup is out for the Braves for tonight. And a little different because of Ronald Acuna, as we told you in the last segment, out tonight, just getting a day off. Been a little scuffing a little bit. So it's Ozzie and Dansby. I like that at the top there. You know, we've talked about Ozzie and Dansby.
Yeah.
And the cancer, you know, he's the one who said several years ago that in his mind, which was going pretty fast all the time, it was Ozzie and Dansby in his future lineup. So wherever he is selling timeshares, the cancer, it's got to be happy. I like it. I think it works.
I do too. I'm going to take it a step further. And I know Freddie's locked into the three hole, but I would love to see it go Ozzie, Dansby, Acuna, Freddie someday. I really would like to see that. I think that would be an ideal lineup.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think Jeremy, I saw y'all must have been talking about on the midday show because he sent a message on Facebook that I saw where he was talking about he said Acuna too, and I like Acuna too as well. Mm-hmm. I don't mind Acuna too.
Sure.
I like you better four, but I think that it's interesting dynamic to play with. I mean, last night, first of all, we haven't really talked about it. Oh my God, can we trade for this Paddock guy?
He's pretty good, huh?
My word. Did he have some stuff or not? That was sick. Two runs, four hits, one walk, five strikeouts, six innings of work. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? JJ, remember JJ Cooper telling me and you in the little stupid break room at SunTrust Park that the Padres had a better, or were you there? I think you
yeah,
were there.
I think yeah.
He told us the Padres had a better farm system than the Braves.
He did. I remember that. And you know that the and I'm not going to try to even say his name, but the Nick guy that pitched the night before,
right?
I thought his stuff was pretty because nobody was hitting him hard. I mean, Ozzie had the home run, but other than that, there weren't that they've. That, and we don't get to see Fernando Tatis Jr. in this series because he just got put on the injured list. But I think. You know, we talk about the Braves and the Phillies a lot with the prospects in the East looking forward, looking ahead. And I think down the line, San Diego's a team to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Manny Machado is going to get a lot of the headlines, and they signed Eric Hosmer about a year ago, and that's going to draw some attention. But they've got some really talented young players. That Paddock last night was, he was impressive.
And tonight, Cal Quantrill makes his big league debut. He's another one of their top prospects that they have, so they're a fun team to watch, but that Paddock kid really handcuffed the Braves all night long. I mean, Ozzie was 0 for 4. Dansby was 1 for 4 with 2 strikeouts, so they didn't really do very much. But I still, if 23 can't come back anytime soon and they have to injure listing, you know what? I would bring my boy Austin Riley up, and I would have Ozzie and Dansby. Let's see what that can do, especially with Dansby doing a better job of getting on base.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. I really do. So that's what it is tonight. Ozzie, Dansby, Freddie, Markakis in the four hole with Acuna taking the night off. Camargo, McCann, Culberson, good. Getting a shot in left field to start. Ender and CRT back to the starting lineup. And then Max Fried is the starting pitcher against his former team, the San Diego Padres, who drafted him back in 2013. 478-646 ESPN is the number. Let's go back to the phone. Shane in Cochrane. Hello, Shane.
Hey, Bill. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, sir, for calling.
Hey, so there was a rumor that kind of popped up in some conversations that I was a part of back in March. And I thought it was extremely far-fetched at the time, but it just seems to keep getting recirculated. Back in March, we'd heard a rumor that there may be some backdoor talks with Kimbrel and the Braves to delay his signing so after the draft to kind of, I guess, avoid the slot money and the draft pick they'd have to give up. Have you heard anything around that, or would you think there would be any truth to that?
Well, I don't think there would be any truth to it, and I don't think it's true because I saw Craig Kimbrel in Florida in celebration right outside of where the Braves train, and he was down there to train with his agent, which is in what's that town called? It's like 15 miles south of Claremont, 15 miles south of where the Braves are. And he told me and the people we were with that he thought it'd be over and he would be signed by the end of that week. So that would have been by the 10th or so of March. So I don't think, at least at that point, that there was an expectation that he was going to have to wait until June to sign. Now, did something change along the way with that, Shane, that made it where the writing was on the wall for him that, damn, nobody's going to sign me until after the draft, so I might as well wait? I don't know, but I can't imagine that. I don't think he's got much choice, though, now, do you?
Yeah, not this close. You know, back in March, and I was thinking, there's no way he holds out that many months and that far into the season to sign a deal like that. But now as it gets closer and closer, I mean, it just kind of makes you think. And at the time, there was some discussion that, that would kind of shorten up the season for him. And would actually, make him more fresh towards postseason play or toward the end of the season. So, it's just kind of kind of strikes my, you know, it makes me curious that, you know, was there any truth to that? And now it's so close, you know, I just don't see a signing prior to draft day. And if it is, man, that's just, that would just be crazy to me.
Well, I think that's an interesting thought, though, about the fact that if he doesn't pitch from March 1st or February 20th, let's say, when spring training would normally start, through June 20th, which is March, April, May, June. I mean, that's 3.5, 4 months, except, I mean, I know he's throwing on the side, but I'm talking about in competitive game situations. How much fresher could that make his arm in September and October? That's a real interesting thought. But here's the thing, and for the Braves' sake, you know, I think right now they have about $20 million that they could spend and be around their budget of what they hinted around about. Well, I think it could be more than that, to be honest with you, because I think they're around 115, between 115 and 120, and I thought they were going to be around 135 to 140 with their payroll. So if they did sign him to a deal where he was, let's say, only making $10 million the rest of the season, I mean, my gosh, they still have a ton of money to add more. That's the thing. And you know, they should have a ton of money coming off the books this year after this season, Shane, because they certainly don't need to re-sign the third baseman.
Well, I know that that there's been that you've been pretty vocal on that third baseman and not really making any move within the pen. You know, and it just kind of seems like year after year, you know, even if the Braves don't make that Donaldson deal come true this year, that, you know, it just kind of seems like they still wouldn't even spend that kind of money or that money that they had allotted towards the bullpen because they haven't done it thus far, you know.
No, they haven't, but it's still weird that they would go spend that much money on a position that they already had one player who had done well and one on the way. And because I mean, look, they're 14 and 15. They're 2 games out of first place. And I think if the bullpen didn't suck as much as it had the first 29 games, they'd be in first place by 3 or 4 games.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Like, I appreciate the conversation. Just thought it was an interesting point. Just kind of lingered around for, you know, a little over a month, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Shane, thank you for calling. We appreciate it very much. We hope you'll call again.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right. That is an interesting thought of not only the money of, all right, if you sign him June 15th to a 10-year deal, that you're going to save money because nobody's going to sign him to a $15 million a year deal for the rest of the year. I know he's going to do that. Hell, that'd be like prorating a $20 million plus contract. Nobody's going to do that. Not with him out here for this long period of time.
And don't you have to almost treat this like an injured player coming back to give him some rehab starts, air quote, you know, just to make sure he's good to go, get him up some live pitching, make sure the arm's good to go, make sure the stuff's there before, and make sure he feels good before you get him in a major league game?
You saw, when's the draft? June 6th or 7th or something like that? At earliest, June 15th, June 20th? I know he's been throwing. We all know he's been throwing. It's not like he's sitting up and doing nothing, but I don't know. It is an interesting, weird story. And again, it's May 1st, and I guarantee you 3 months ago on February 1st, I said, we could go pull the tape, and I guarantee you I was saying at that point in time, my God, it's February 1st and Craig Kimbrel doesn't have a job. The hell with Dallas Keuchel. I don't care about him. Craig Kimbrel. Crazy. 478-646 ESPN. We'll take a break. Back with more from Classic Firearms here on Northside Drive in Macon right after this.
Genie got a gun. Genie got a gun.
Accurate. Classic Firearm. Yes, you know where Janie got her gun from? Classic Firearms here on Northside Drive in Macon. 3780 Northside Drive to be exact, where you can come by, check out the deals they have. Taurus G2C starting at $239.99. SWJ frame revolver starting at $349.99. So come on by and check them out if you're interested in a gun, or if you need any supplies for your gun, or if you have a collection you want to maybe sell, they can look at it. Or single guns, they can look at it if you want to sell one. Here at Classic Firearms on Northside Drive in Macon, 3780, right behind Ortho Georgia, as a matter of fact, one of our other great sponsors here. So come by. And also don't forget the Facebook page for Classic Farms. They have all of their deals on there every couple of weeks to remind you of what they have on sale here at Classic Farms in Macon, GA. All right, 478-646-ESPN is our number, 646-3776. The fact that Josh Donaldson has missed now two games, he's not in the lineup tonight, and the fact that Austin Riley is doing as expected and is going off in AAA is going to light the debate that I was kind of worried about in spring training, and that is if either Donaldson struggled or was hurt, what was going to happen? And here we are. Because you know what? Whether it's Bryce Harper or Josh Donaldson, when you are making a lot of money, things are going to be said. That's just the way it is. And in his last six games, Austin Riley has 5 home runs and 9 RBI. And he has 4, let's see. Hold on, let me do quick math here, which you know is not quick for me. 13 hits in 24 at bats. He's hitting .542 with 5 home runs and 9 RBI in his last 6 games.
Wow.
When a player who was in AAA the year before, as Austin Riley was, goes back to AAA, the prevailing thought, whether it's a pitcher or a position player, is they've got to go back there and have a little bit more time, which Austin needed, and almost show the Major League team that they're ready for the big leagues, kind of prove it to them. In the old term, well, he'll tell us when he's ready. That is not a verbal speech. Hey, Snicker, I'm ready. Bring me up. You know, Austin Riley's not going to text Brian Snicker or Alex Anthopoulos and say, hey, bring me up. But now we're in a situation where Austin Riley's had one heck of a week. His overall numbers now with what he's done for the season are outstanding. His batting average is good. His OBP is good. And now you have to wonder if in 2 weeks, or let's just say on June 1st, if we're having the same conversation, what are they going to do? Okay, they put him at first base some this spring. He's played some games at first base in Gwinnett. That ain't going to help the matter. That's only going to be a problem because there's a first baseman already in Atlanta, and he ain't going nowhere. Josh Donaldson, what are you going to do with him? They didn't really play him in the outfield. I think even though they said they were going to play him in the outfield, they didn't. So that kind of tells you maybe what they think about. They play him a little bit in the outfield, but, I mean, it's not probably going to happen. So what are they going to do with this kid? He was one of the top third base prospects in the game. Still is, but he was last winter when they decided to go spend $23 million on a third baseman. And now this kid is blocked. You know, if Camargo, let's say Donaldson wasn't on this team, and Camargo is the third baseman. Now, Camargo's number so far this year in his super utility role are pretty decent, right? I mean, they're not great, not as great as they were last year, but it's hard for him not playing every day to be as consistent as he was a season ago. I mean, they're not bad, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's hitting .231, though, which is not good. You know, he can hit better than that. 1 home run, 10 RBI. 4 doubles, 1 triple, 1 stolen base. .296 on OBP. I think we can assume that if Camargo were playing every day, he'd have a little bit better numbers. But if Donaldson went around, Camargo was playing third, and he had ordinary numbers, Austin Riley may be able to push him out of the way into a super utility role. So, again, if that's the case, why did they do this?
Yeah.
Why did they spend $23 million when it was not necessary now? Because, Russ, we've seen pitchers. Tommy Hansen went down to AAA, God bless him, and I don't know if you remember this, but I am, but really more than close with Tommy's dad. And I remember Tom Hansen calling me and saying, you know, Tommy kind of went in there and said, I don't know what y'all want me to do, because K kids get pissed off when they dominate AAA and don't get called up.
Nobody grows up dreaming of being a Gwinnett striper.
No.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And Austin Riley hit a 492-foot home run today. I guess he's taking it out on the baseballs right now.
What was the launch angle and exit velocity and barrel percentage on that? Do you have
really
that?
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Really, really good. And, you know, part of the thing about the Josh Donaldson, you know, at third base, it's as much about, you know, everybody jumps to Camargo, and rightfully so, because he had kind of taken that position. But people talked about you needed another bat. That could have been Austin Riley. You needed to strengthen the bench. Austin Riley could have provided that. And I'm not saying Austin Riley could do what Josh Donaldson has done in the past, but because the injury that Josh Donaldson suffered, to me, it was the same question. Because you don't know what Josh Donaldson is going to be coming off the injury. Now we're going into the second straight day where he's not playing. And it just so happens to be on a day where Austin Riley hit two home runs. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. And unfortunately, you know, this is how this started last year with Donaldson. Because I don't think when he first had the calf injury, it was the other calf. But when that first cropped up, I don't think they thought it was going to be this long. And if we're about to go through the same thing here, and then seeing the bullpen, what it's doing, and seeing what Austin Riley, what he's doing. I mean, seriously, for the PR department, from a public relations standpoint, for that front office, this is a nightmare scenario which could be unfolding right now. Because instead of rolling with Camargo, you know, keeping it warm, so to speak, for Austin Riley, and then transitioning into being the utility player that he is now, they elected instead to spend $23 million. Which is a hefty price to pay for somebody coming off a serious injury the age Josh Donaldson is. If you're getting 2015 Josh Donaldson down the road, I don't think anybody's complaining. But, I think we've had glimpses of 2015 Josh Donaldson, but I don't think we got 2015 Josh Donaldson.
And that's why this relates to the situation about the bullpen. What you just said right there and what we've been talking about is why it's allocation of financial resources, pure and simple. We hope you allocate some of your financial resources to Classic Firearms here in Macon. 3780 Northside Drive here in Macon. 478-646-ESPN. That's our number. We're taking your calls next 2 hours and 5 minutes leading up to Braves baseball. Back with more of the Bill Shank Show.